Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
And we have the baseball season, by the way. It begins in earnest. I know they played a couple games in Korea, but now when the local teams open, when your team opens,
now
that's
we're talking.
What opening
yes. Hey, yes. Hey, holy mackerel, no doubt about it. The Cubs are on their way.
Hey, hey, holy mackerel, no doubt about it. The Cubs are on their way.
I used to sing that and hum that in my head every opening day. I used to make sure that that was on a loop mentally all day long when the Cubs opened. That was my elementary school trick. I would not let any other song enter my head.
Kind of explains your grades.
It does. It does. Obviously.
David, you did so well, and then look what happened here in March.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Hey, good morning. Love the show.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is upon us. It is here. Let's play too, Mr. David, to quote a famous Cubs player.
Morning, Mully. Yes, happy Thursday. It is opening day, the most optimistic day of the baseball season.
Is it?
This is going to be a long day. It's going to be a fun day, and it is going to include a little bit of everything. So, yes, the song is in my head. We are locked and loaded and ready to go. Going to be a great afternoon, turn into an evening, into a late night. What time are we going to be done watching sports today?
Oh, I mean, the better question is when do we actually start? Because there's just wall to wall. There'll be pregame stuff. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm heading out to Wings and Rings on the south side so I can see Dan and Layla and Lawrence. And it is the Sox home opener, and they're going to do the show live 10 to 2 at Wings and Rings on Halstead. Join the Score in Modelo. I've got a son soon to be 20. You know mm-hmm. what his favorite beer is?
Modelo?
That's correct.
Yeah.
At Wings and Rings.
He can't even buy it yet.
As they get you ready for the White Sox season opener. I mean, I'm not supposed to know
he can't
that
even buy it yet.
Because it's
and
supposed
it's his favorite.
To
That's
be
how
a
good
secret.
That beer is.
That's how good
That's
it is.
That's how good Modelo is. It's
in
it's
a
the
year,
favorite.
He may well yeah. buy his own Modelo.
It is
but
the
at
favorite
point,
people that can't even buy it legally yet.
Yeah, he was telling me that that's the preferred beer when he's yeah. out with his boys.
Good
and
stuff.
Like, yeah.
That's going to be a good event, and it's going to be perfectly staggered because you've got 10 to 2, and then, Mully, we've got the White Sox at 3, the Cubs
yes.
at 6,
yes.
and then the Illini
it's
wrapping things up.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. If you just wanted to watch that and nothing else, and there are other options, there are other games that are on, the NCAA tournament, the Sweet 16.
We're very myopic here. I can't.
I gotcha.
I can't look outside.
So
that,
we can only watch.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm yep. zeroed in here. We have to worry about Sox, Tigers,
UConn,
Cubs,
San
Rangers.
Diego State yeah. can go rot.
Yes.
All we care about.
I mean, the
I gotcha.
UConn Invitational will still continue over the weekend. Okay. I'll catch up right. later.
So you feel like you don't have to worry about them.
I'm not
what
worried about that.
I mean, what about Arizona against Clemson? Don't you have a betting interest in that one?
No? Passing interest. I'm very curious how the Illini can handle Iowa State's defense. Step up in class. They've only beaten a 14-11 seed, and no Illinois fans bristle at that mention every time they hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But talking to even guys like we talked to Kendall Gill
yeah.
and trained eyes watching the Illini know that they have to play better than they have, and they've played pretty well because Iowa State is one of the best defensive teams in the country, underseeded perhaps.
I
it's going to be a tough one.
I think underseeded. I think they should be a number one seed. I think it's a really tough path to a Final Four for Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a limited number of people, we won't name names, who still believe they can get there. It's a limited group.
But
there are certain, what I like to think
I think
of,
you're trying to say...
Basketball geniuses.
What you're trying to say is that it was very difficult.
Prognosticators.
Very difficult choice for you this morning, the Illini hat or the White Sox hat.
I'm wearing a White Sox hat for the first time in a long time.
What does that signify?
It signifies that I used to wear a Sox hat all the time.
I know that. No,
and
I mean,
I kind of stopped wearing it. Well, it's opening day, David.
Protest. So?
I'm not protesting. I mean, this... If you can't be optimistic
okay,
today,
that's what I'm getting at.
If you can't wish for the happy joy of opening day on one day, then you're really going to run out of that optimism.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine who called me up yesterday, and this is the honest to God truth, wanted to know if he should lay any money on the White Sox to win 61.5 games. He was thinking of going the over. And I'm like, well, hold on. I'm kind of talking him out of it. And then I realize, you know, they could win 63 games.
Of course.
They could win 65 games.
Of course.
If everything broke correctly.
Think about it, though. That's a pretty low bar.
That's my point.
If you talk about bad teams lose in the 60s. So, win in the 60s.
Yes.
And so you could be a bad team.
I
will get to our predictions, but
I know.
Anywhere between 65 and 69 games is
reasonable.
Reasonable for the White Sox, and they're still a bad team.
Yeah, they're terrible.
You look at the roster, and they finally finalized the roster.
Yeah, I saw.
14 of the 26 players are making their Sox debut today.
Yeah,
that's a lot of newness. But what does that say to you? There was a good reason why you put your White Sox hat in the closet. They stunk last year, and they stunk with a team that was unlikable.
Yeah, they really did stink last year.
They did.
And I'm talking to my buddy, and he said, you know, I got to tell you, I told my other friends I'm going to call my friend who's a Sox fan to see if he can talk me into going over. And I'm like, I'm letting you down. I'm letting them down. Today is opening day. Let's get happy.
Yeah, I think this is the happiest day
of the year. Garrett Crochet. We're going to see guy pitch. I think maybe, I'm going to say it, a perfect 3 or 4 innings.
He could. Listen, he could. He could be amped up. And if he is amped up.
I'm amped up.
3 and 4 innings is probably the high water mark.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go home. I'm going to put
All right, now you talk yourself
into
it.
I'm going to put a uniform on, for God's sake.
You and Ronnie Woo Woo. You're going to be the South Side Ronnie Woo Woo?
Yes, and I'll take the L.
Molly Mull.
I'll show you.
There we go.
That'll be that guy.
Sox, woo!
Yeah.
Pedro, woo! Grifol, woo!
I'll be the guy, you know.
With 65 wins, woo!
With the wallet cut out of his back pants. That happened to me once.
I'm curious about the crowd. I'm very curious how the crowd size, what the crowd size will be. It's going to be very good, mild weather.
It's going to be packed. And
Wait a second. Slow down.
You don't think they're going to sell out opening day?
I'm not sure about that. Do we know if they are or they're not? I would be surprised.
Is that what he said?
Is that what he said?
Yeah,
thanks.
I think they're going to do well.
You think they're going to sell out?
Listen.
Tickets still available.
You know what I'm doing yesterday? I'm not making this up. So I'm like, they can definitely win the over, go over. And then I sit down, just because you got to be positive. And I just started looking up all the food choices and all the – I'm just saying, that's the great reason to go.
Well, let's
to
see
the
who's
park.
Leading off for the White Sox. Doesn't matter because I'm going to eat well.
The show there is unbelievable.
Did you see
and
the
I'm
new
going
shake?
Through the giveaways. You know, Brooks Boyer does an unbelievable job. The White Sox, the experience of going to the ball yard. And let me tell you, if you have kids and you go up to the – to the skills level and you have them run the base, just the sprints and that kind of stuff, that's phenomenal for kids. It's a great experience. It's a beautiful day at the ballpark. I'm all over it. I'm all over it. I'm picking some dates. I'm telling you. Bruce told me I won't go to 5 games. I'm going to go to 5 games
today. Who said that? Bruce didn't say that to
Bruce
you.
Bruce gave me an over-under.
Did he challenge you to go to 5 games?
I think he said I'd go under 5.
This White Sox season, I think, it's beginning with low expectations. That's the understatement of the spring. But it can still be fun. And if they do play in a way that is easy to respect, then they become more likable by the game, more likable by the month. And they earn your respect back. I think the key question was, and this was funny because it was on the AJ Pierzynski Foul Territory podcast. And he had Chris Getz, our 925 guest today, the general manager of the White Sox. And it said something to the effect of, what are your goals? And Getz started off talking about having to win the fans back. And AJ stopped him. He said, you sound like Rick Hahn. And he said, okay. And AJ kind of interrupted him and then apologized later. But Chris Getz was exactly right. What you have just described represents everything about the Sox challenge this season. You've got to win your fan base back person at a time.
I got a buddy, and he has a group of friends. They're Sox fans, and they're they feel ostracized. And he was telling me that his friends are talking about becoming Baltimore fans, starting to follow the Orioles because they're a similar type team that's been down so blessedly long.
It's a bandwagon worth jumping on right now.
And it's a bandwagon worth jumping on, and they're going to be Orioles fans. And I'm kind of like, I couldn't do that. I could not do that. I thought about it, and I understand the argument, but I grew up on the South Side. I've been to plenty of opening days. I don't know how you.
It's unnatural.
It'd be like getting paint stripper on your skin.
It's kind of unnatural.
Sounds like you're hospitalized.
Yeah, and you can't really account for it or explain it.
No.
But it's the way you were raised. It's
schoolyard allegiances, my friend.
It goes way back, and you identify with that forever. And so you really and really you don't have to explain your baseball allegiances. They just are
what they are, and they're very strong.
So that's good that they're strong. I think that. You know, this is not going to be a team that's necessarily going to dazzle you, but they can play smarter, they can play harder, they can play better than they did last year, and that's not really a difficult thing to say or predict because they were really bad. 101 losses coming off a historically bad year. It was rough.
But the problem, here's the problem. Like, we had a conversation yesterday, and Zach brought up a great question, which is last time – you went into a season with a Chicago team that you thought was going to win their division. And it's been a while, but it hadn't been that long.
It hadn't been that long.
No, because the White Sox, they had a couple years.
2 years ago.
They came into a season where you believed they could challenge, they could win the division and challenge for a World Series title. Maybe only a small number of people believe that, but that was a belief. And then they wound up like 500.
You remember?
And then they changed managers and they wound up with 101 losses.
Well, I think it was just 2 years ago, 2022.
Yes.
We were sitting here on opening day. You know our buddy Ron from the Southside Sox fan?
Of course.
He called in on Saturday, and Bruce and I made our predictions on Inside the Clubhouse, and Ron said he's writing them down. And he reminded me of something that I had kind of forgotten about, what you were talking about. 2022, Bruce and I both picked the Sox to be in the World Series.
Right.
And I think you were right along there. And everybody kind of in town was expecting this team to do what they were supposed to do, live up to expectations.
Yep.
And
they
didn't.
You know, and it's I was talking to my son yesterday just about this and about the season. And, you know, there's nothing like baseball to kind of talk to your kid about. But he was saying that, like, this the White Sox, are supposed to be the Baltimore Orioles. Like, whatever the Orioles, whatever's happening now, where people are they're becoming a kind of a chic pick, if you will, they're becoming a very popular pick. That's what the Sox were supposed to be a couple years.
They were a couple years ago. They were the trendy pick to win the pennant,
and it didn't happen. And it didn't happen. And instead, we're here in the rebuild, whatever. But he was saying if Baltimore. He's going to be mad.
Well,
because that was supposed
Baltimore's
to be
going
us.
To win. Baltimore's going to be very good.
You're
but you know what?
Them to win the World Series?
With due respect to your buddy, I don't think that it matters. If you care about the White Sox and always have, I think that you just are always going to be inclined to do that.
I agree.
You know, I'm not comparing the things. I said yesterday, I grew up a Cub fan. You can't really explain why, but since I can remember, every opening day it was, you know, the Cubs are going to win today, the song in your head.
Sure.
You grow up that way, and then I become a professional, you're a journalist, and you got to be objective, and then you're not a fan for all these years. You stop doing that, you stop having to do that. I hope the Cubs win every game.
Yeah.
It's easy to reestablish your fandom if it's natural to you, and most times I think it would be harder to adopt a new team than to leave your old one. You know, it would be
There's no way. It's just part of your identity.
But people have tried to do that. Like, they're saying they're shopping for teams. I think Lawrence has talked about that pretty openly. Like, you're looking for a new team.
Yeah.
If you can do that, terrific. I think it's really hard.
Oh, I think it's – I mean, I think you – if you do it, I think it's insincere. I don't – like – I remember being at a Cubs playoff game where they hadn't been in the playoffs in a very long time, and I had a ticket to the game, and I was there with a friend of mine, and we were at this, you know, at one of the bars, Bernie's, waiting to go across the street to the game. And I just had this wave of guilt. Like, why am I taking a ticket from someone who has followed this team their whole life? Mm-hmm. And I ran into a buddy of mine's sister, and I gave her my ticket because I felt she'd spent her life waiting for that moment, and she was just going to hang around at the bars. It sounds wrong. But she was going to go down just to experience the feeling of being at a playoff game, but she wasn't going to be able to go in. And I was like, well, I'll watch it on TV. I'll sit here and have a couple drinks and hook up with everybody later. I don't care. It's not,
right.
It doesn't mean everything to me.
Right.
And there are people that it means so much to.
I know.
And they're priced out of it.
Well, they're priced out of it, but I think they're also disenchanted. They're also disenchanted by what they've seen, because – if they were still enthralled by everything about their favorite team, the White Sox in this case,
yes,
they'd find a way to get there on opening day. They'd find a way to spend the money once or twice, but maybe fewer times per summer, but they'd identify their moments and they try to maximize them. That's why today
I'm surprised that you feel there'll be no tickets sold today.
I want everyone to go to the game. I want a full ballpark. I like the people over there.
I do too.
I think it's healthy when the Sox are fascinating and interesting and packing guaranteed rate. I just am realistic. I don't think it's going to be a sellout, and I think that it's going to be tough for them to generate and garner interest and keep it. But last year was that bad. I don't have to tell you. I mean, no, I don't have to tell anybody. But I'll be surprised if it's a sellout today.
I'll be surprised if people don't turn up for that game. And I think for the reasons we've been talking about, which have nothing to do with current ownership, with plans for leaving the neighborhood, whatever it is that has, you know, the talent level.
Mm-hmm.
And I am fascinated. I can't wait to talk to Chris Getz about what he has learned through this process, because he's a novice doing this for the first time. Mm-hmm. And he's made a ton of decisions. And as you say, that team has changed quite a bit.
14 new guys.
Yeah.
14 out of 26.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. So we got Garrett Crochet, Tarik Skubal against the Sox and the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Lefty on the mound. Battle of good lefties. Good.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I wonder how long he's going to go, Garrett Crochet. This is only – did I read this correctly? It's like the ninth time in baseball that a guy's first start is on.
Yeah, it's
day.
Been a long time. He's making history today.
Yep.
And, you know, you're – right, or at least it was fair to wonder. I think you've mentioned a couple of times that since he was named the opening day starter, was that partially because of a box office attraction? Was that part of the thinking?
I mean, again, Dylan Cease, you'd go out to see him, right?
Definitely.
No question. So now you got a guy that is a recognizable name. He's had a really good spring. I'm not underselling what he's achieved, but he also is box office.
He's got the most electric arm. He's a first-round draft pick.
Yes,
we tend to pay more attention to those guys than everyone else.
Oh, I know him. I mean, as simple as that.
Oh,
Kopech couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So it's got to be him. In another universe, if Kopech would have been pitching well and wasn't moved out of the rotation, maybe it'd be him.
Maybe it would be him. So a lot of fascination. We'll talk to Chris Getz at 9:25. Jed Hoyer. 8 o'clock, Cubs down in Texas.
There's so much to like about the Cubs, and there's so much to like about this idea that they're going to be improving as the season goes on.
There's not much cynicism surrounding the Cubs this season.
No.
And to Zach's point yesterday, I would say the first time, let's say 2020 was messed up because it wasn't a real season. It was shortened, and there was not the buildup, and there wasn't the real opening day. This is the first opening day, I think, that we've had since maybe 2019 that the Cubs, maybe 18, that the Cubs have begun the season. You start the year thinking, all right, this is a playoff team. They're going to win as many as, what's the ceiling on this Cub team? 90 wins?
Yeah, that's the
high
ceiling.
80s?
I think they're picked at 84 and a half.
Mid-80s?
In Vegas.
But they're going to be contenders.
They're going to be contenders.
You're going to start opening day. Every game is going to be relevant. Every game is going to matter. And every game will be right here on the Score.
Yeah, tonight the Cubs season begins on the road. They are at Texas against the Rangers. Rangers, pretty good team, right?
Yes.
Pre-game coverage begins at 6, and the first pitch is at 6:35. The only local broadcast of tonight's game is here on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app.
Justin Steele, Nathan Eovaldi, and Ian Happ leading off.
Happer. You know, can I say this? And please feel free to tell me I'm wrong. I think that Ian Happ, Seiya Suzuki, and Cody Bellinger are going to go 1-2-3 for the majority of the season. I think that if you listen to what Craig Counsell said, he talked about how lineup doesn't matter other than you want your best hitters at the top of it. So I think as much as we talk about moving guys around and how the DH will be used and the Cubs having versatility of position and the importance of that to the manager who himself could play three different positions when he was a player, I think that those three guys, they ideally, if things go right, you want to lock them in 1-2-3 pretty much on a game-to-game basis.
I'll say this. I hope you're right. I hope they can. I have doubts.
Right.
And if you're going to look at – I don't want to be cynical or pessimistic on the best day of the baseball season.
Right.
I worry about Ian Happ walking 99 games again and not striking out too much and all the things that keep his on-base percentage high. I am not sold on Seiya Suzuki being their best hitter. I just am not so far because he had to fail before he could succeed last year. And I worry about, you know, is he going to be the guy we saw until August last year or the guy that was really woken up by his benching and then was a different hitter the final 6 weeks of the season? I hope he's that guy. And Bellinger, I love Cody Bellinger. I'm so glad that he's back. Got to do it again. You can't have the regression.
I'm saying that's the plan going into the year if you read between the lines of what Counsell has been saying. So
Right? He wants it to be that way. Then
I think it could go that way.
I think Nico Horner, if he gets hot, could be one of those top three hitters.
Okay.
And I do wonder where they're going to put Dansby Swanson. Is he going to bat fifth again? The order beyond the top three guys to Craig Counsell, I wonder how much it matters.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think whoever gets hot with the bat is the cleanup guy. If you got Morel banging home runs, that it's him. If Michael Busch somehow is suddenly in a power surge, then he moves up into that spot.
Yep.
I think that spot is not locked in. But I think if I'm hearing this guy right, you do lock in the top three.
I think he likes that idea. So there's baseball, there's basketball, the Illini tonight, 9 o'clock tip, at least that maybe later than that.
Yep.
Molly, wanted to mention this because we talked about it off the air and it's a big story on WGN. Mike Lowe broke it last night. How about this? Northwestern seeking a zoning determination from the city of Evanston to build a temporary facility for 15,000 fans at the existing Lakeside Field during the construction of the new Ryan Field.
It is the existing field. I've seen many a game there. When the Ramblers play Northwestern in soccer, they play there. I've been in that place for, you name a sport. It's a nice little facility on the lake. It's beautiful. I would imagine what they're talking about doing here is just putting temporary stands on the lake side of it because you already have stands
more people
on the other side. So 15,000 people is hardly enough for like a big college football game. It's just not big enough. Having said that, I said to these guys this morning when we were talking about it, like, where was the delay? Did you have to get turned down by all these other buildings before you said, oh, by the way, why don't we just throw some temporary
stands
over here?
Seems like a late start.
Did you not know as you're knocking down the building, wait a minute. Oh, you know, it's probably a bad idea to play Wisconsin and Green Bay. Where else can we play?
They might have been a little preoccupied with that football program. Maybe just a tad.
All right. But we'll get into all
of
it.
That, yeah.
And God bless them. I think it'd be a great place to go see a game if they put temporary stands there. It is absolutely beautiful by the lakefront there. It's a great campus. I don't know. Is it a little bit late? For me, it is. It's not all their games, right? It's only a few.
Not all their games. It's just the ones that probably they're not playing at alternate sites where they're likely to attract bigger crowds.
Right. Okay. 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. We're going to get to your calls. But next, we got the pick six. We're going to pick apart all the stories of the day. We're going to make all our predictions. We're going to tell you who wins what, when, and how. I mean, we're really sharpen up the pencils.
Sharpen the pencils.
Get out the scorecard. And whatever you do, if you decide to wager, go against us.
Go against us. 630 says, you guys sound more optimistic about the Sox than the Cubs.
I don't think that's true. I think we're just enjoying opening day. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
The Pick Six is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. Guys, the Cubs will open in Texas, and in honor of opening day, can you please make a season prediction with the team's record? Who will be the team MVP? Who will be the best player? Do you have a breakout player in mind?
Yeah, you always have breakout players in mind. I will go ahead and say that the Cubs are going to get better this year. I like some of the subtle changes, some of the younger guys. I think the Cubs will win 87 games. So I'm going with 87, which will be enough to win the division. I think the Brewers won it last year with 92 wins, and I think that I think the Cubs are going to do well. I expect Justin Steele to have a really big season. I think he's going to step up. He's done it already, and all he's got to do is rinse and repeat. So I think he's going to be their best pitcher. I'm kind of hesitant on their best player. I guess I have to go with Cody Bellinger because he's a free agent again. He's on a prove-it deal, and he's got something to prove. So I think he's going to have a very similar season to the one that he had. And maybe that's stepping out a little bit, but I don't know. I want to say as far as a breakout is concerned, that it's going to be someone that's not on the roster right now.
Interesting.
I want to say that it's going to be someone
veteran
brought
or
up,
a rookie.
I think a rookie.
Okay.
And I think it could be a pitcher.
Like that.
But I am not sure which of like three guys it is.
Okay.
But for the purposes of this, I'll say it's Ben Brown.
All right. I'm right there with you, Mully. I got it right here. 87 and 75. So four games better, 87 wins overall. So that should push them right into the playoffs. They should be able to take care of that division. We'll get into that later. I also have the MVP. I'm going to go with Cody Bellinger just because I feel like he should be their MVP. He's in a prove it year. And if he can play and kind of pretty much do the same thing that he did last year, then that should help them. Their best player, I want it to be Justin Steele. I've been big on saying I don't see Justin Steele as an ace overall. I see him as
you call him a fifth starter.
I did not say that.
Oh,
I did not say that.
It wasn't him.
But I do see him as a – he could be, and he could prove me wrong, and this is his way to do it. If he could repeat this season again – then, yes, he's definitely an ace. So he could be, most likely should be their best player. Breakout I got is Michael Bush. Nice. Like, if he takes it to another level and really reach that potential, then, look, the Cubs can be doing something nice. These young, prove-it players, if they can do something, then that can kind of push them right into kind of claiming that division.
They're so high on their young pitchers and on their minor league system that they kept him away from going after a guy like Jordan Montgomery, which could have been a short-term way to address the Jameson Taillon injury or just loading up on veteran pitchers. But they like their depth. So I see why. They also should like their major league team. I have the Cubs winning 88 games. That'll win the division. It's not the toughest division in baseball or the National League. The NL West is loaded. But the Cubs can win the division by winning 88 games, and I think they're capable of doing that. Their team MVP will be Dansby Swanson. Bellinger will have another good year, but Dansby Swanson's the guy. Defensively, and he'll hit better than he did last year. He started a little bit slow, but he finished like he was maybe tired. I think he'll understand better how to pace himself, even though he's a guy that plays regularly anyway, and he did in Atlanta. But I think Chicago's a little bit different, so he will be better this year, and he'll be the MVP. Best player could be the same guy, but I think that when you look at somebody like Justin Steele being able to you know, be this ace again. But Adbert Alzolay is somebody nobody talks about. But if you're in a lot of close games, he's going to be one of their better players and maybe more valuable. Is it the same thing? Dustin's not here to correct us.
Mm-hmm.
Breakout player. I did have Michael Bush like Brandon did, but since he chose him, I'll say Jordan Wicks. He's their third starter right now out of necessity.
That's good. Yeah.
He eventually will ascend to be a guy that you trust in that rotation. Jordan Wicks is going to have a very good year.
I'll take your questions. I don't have much to say about this.
All right, let's move to the south side. While we're sticking with opening day, I need the White Sox season prediction for the team's record. Who will be the team MVP, their best pitcher, and once again, do you have a breakout player in mind?
Well, I think I have to stay consistent, and I know Ron from the south side is writing down my predictions, so I was a little over my skis on Saturday morning, and I said 68 victories, so I'm going to say 68 victories for the White Sox. They're going to be improved.
Wow.
That means they're going to lose a lot, but they're going to be 7 games better than they were a year ago. 94 losses is better than 101. Still not a great team, but I do think they'll be winning cleaner or losing cleaner and winning more often. So I have 68 victories. The team MVP's a gimme. That's Luis Robert Jr.
Mm-hmm.
The best pitcher. I think Michael Soroka, if he can stay healthy, is going to be the most consistent starting pitcher. And that's the big if in his career. But I like everything that he brings to Chicago in that trade with the Braves. The breakout player, boy, I would love it to be Colson Montgomery. I hope that he comes up midseason and is the guy. So I'm going to stay with the optimistic tone today and say Colson Montgomery will be the breakout player for the White Sox.
All right. You guys make fun of me a lot because I always talk about Pedro being bottom three manager overall. So I looked at the odds. I looked at the odds. The White Sox right now have the tie for the third worst odds to win the MVP. So technically bottom three. They're in that category. With that being said, the wins, they're projected around like 62. I got them a little higher than that. I got 65 wins for them right now. Maybe they'll be 3 games better. I got 65. So that makes them, they don't have that 100 loss. So that helps them out there. I mean, breakout player, I mean, just, David, you said it, 14 new guys, like, pick any one of them. Like, I mean, anybody can be a breakout, somebody you don't know right now. The best player should be on their team, should be Luis Robert. Their best pitcher, I think, is going to be Michael Kopech, and the only reason I'm saying that is just because maybe you can get some value for him and then later trade him down the line, because you just, right now, this season looked like it's all about just developing and getting prospects. The MVP for this team is going to be Ozzie Guillen. And the reason why I got Ozzie Guillen, because it's going to be a long, long season.
Is he taking over?
And Ozzie Guillen is going to be the MVP, because we're going to be tuned in to those post games when it comes to these White Sox games.
I think, Brandon, either you're looking at my sheet or I'm looking at yours, because I have 65 written down here. That's unbelievable. We have the same number on both sides of town.
65 and 88? No, 87. 87, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Interesting.
It's just weird that we both went that route. I guess it's not that strange, because that's not a very good number. It's kind of a middle number. And I think we know they're not going to be great, and they're going to be just a tiny bit better. They're not going to lose 100 games. That is kind of my reasoning. My MVP is Luis Robert Jr., and I'm going to say that not only does he make an All-Star game, but he is the starting center fielder in the All-Star game. Luis Robert, greater than sign Mike Trout.
Wow. Now that
he's gonna have
is
that
a sign.
Kind of year. He's going to be fantastic.
This is opening day.
Yeah. I'm going with Luis Robert.
Lifeguard.
To have a
lifeguard.
Breakout.
Molly just went over to skis.
Their best pitcher, and this is another one that's insane. I'm going with their 18th prospect, Jordan Leisure.
Ooh,
guy's been really good coming up.
That's a good call.
They're going to need help in the back end. They're going to need a high leverage guy. Why not? Let's give him a shot, and let's see if he can get it done. And he's just young enough not to realize, you know, how wretched the season is. He's going to be excited, and he's going to have a good moment for himself.
He suits the Sox.
He does. He's got a leisure suit. And for breakout player, in honor of the Athletics' Jim Bowden, And in honor of you, David, I'm going with Eloy Jimenez. I'm going with one man to finally put it together.
Thank you.
And I don't know if they trade him by the deadline. I don't know what happens, but I think Eloy is going to be the player you always dreamed he would be. Thank you, Jimbo.
The burden is off. He is now your guy, Kevin from Palatine. Mully said that.
I didn't say MVP.
All right.
I said breakout player. For the White Sox, I'm following the lead of Jimbo.
I like those picks.
That's a big question.
By many accounts, quarterback Jaden Daniels didn't have a great showing at LSU's Pro Day yesterday, which Bears GM Ryan Poles attended. Mm. Does it matter to the Bears? Is J.J. McCarthy's apparent rise relevant? Do the Bears even care about any quarterback in the draft other than Caleb Williams?
Well, I hope so. I hope they're looking at everyone, and I hope that I like the idea that they're down there. There's a couple of receivers there, too, and I like the idea. They did not meet with Jaden Daniels, right? They didn't take him out to dinner. They didn't wine and dine him. They didn't have any – they didn't care how he interacted with teammates. He was wearing a jersey in honor of a teammate who has cancer. So I know your guy, Coach Kelly – was saying that reveals the character of the man, that he cares about other people and it's not just about Jaden Daniels. So I did like that, and I think that was a nice gesture. He didn't have a great day. He just didn't – he didn't pinpoint accuracy. He didn't do all the things you kind of hoped he would do just so they could evaluate him. I think they are locked in on Caleb Williams. I think he'll be the first pick in the draft. I think it does matter. It matters that J.J. McCarthy's moving up. It matters that Daniels has to stay where he's at or move up a spot or two. You want those quarterbacks. If the Bears take a quarterback, you want three more going before the Bears have that ninth pick. That is essential to make one of those receivers drop. And I think it's going to be Rome Odunze, and I love that kid, and I hope they take him. And I've always liked guys with place names, and give me a guy named Rome anytime, all over it. Love Rome. It's the eternal city, and he's the eternal receiver.
Passing game wasn't built in a day.
There you go. All roads lead to Odunze.
Lauren Hill said it. Nothing even matters. I mean, it's Caleb Williams or nobody else. That's, to me, when it comes to the Bears. Now, Jaden Daniels not having a great pro day, and you're hearing these rumors of J.J. moving up as high as number two to the Commanders. I mean, that's something. And I really think with Caleb not doing it, I think like doing the combine stuff, certain things, and then Jaden Daniels not doing it, I think it's going to hurt Jaden Daniels more in this effect than it did with Caleb. And with JJ's rise, I mean, look, you can see Jaden Daniels kind of slip down the line. Maybe he'll go down to three. Maybe he'll go down to that position where maybe it could, you know, help the Bears with that number nine pick. Who knows? But him not having a good pro day, I mean, definitely means to me something to NFL scouts and teams out there.
I was a little surprised that Ryan Poles didn't at least stay long enough to have dinner with Brian Kelly and his family. I thought maybe he would go out.
You know they've been eating cake.
I didn't know. So, but apparently Ryan Poles wanted to get back to Chicago. He was spotted at the Bulls game, correct?
Yeah.
So he has his priorities right.
Good for him.
What does that tell you, though? I think there are not as many trendy spots in Baton Rouge as West Hollywood, so maybe he didn't want to go out and observe Jaden Daniels in that environment. I think he was there for the receivers. I think he was there for the rest of the LSU prospects. I'm with Brandon. The only way the quarterback evaluation matters beyond Caleb Williams is what other teams think of these guys if they're willing to go up to draft them. What happens between 1 and 8 or between 2 and 8 after the Bears take Caleb Williams, those draft picks, you want as many quarterbacks to go as possible.
Yes.
So you want Jaden Daniels to have a good pro day. He really didn't. Mixed results.
But what he's saying is interesting. He's saying he wants him to fall to 9. I hadn't thought about that. So the Bears could trade out of the 9th pick. That's what you're saying, right? That's what you.
Yeah, like you can have a quarterback that could fall down the line, and then maybe that benefits the Bears.
I don't want them to do that. I don't want them to trade that pick.
I want them to take.
I want them to use that pick to draft a player who's as impactful as most
as
9 picks are. Yeah, as a quarterback. So I don't think that what the Bears think about these quarterbacks doesn't matter to me. If J.J. McCarthy is rated ahead of Jaden Daniels on the Bears board, I don't care. I really don't. All I care about is what does Caleb Williams' physical look like? What kind of impression can he make at Halisaw with the people who work there? Are they going to come away with, boy, what a nice young man? And as far as the evaluation of the rest of the draftable quarterbacks, as long as other teams are infatuated with the idea of taking Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy, great. Drake May, still keep him popular and propped up, because the more quarterbacks that go before the Bears draft, the better off they will be and maybe have a choice to make between a Joe Alt and a Roma Dunze. Possibly. I doubt it. I think Dunze is going to be the guy, but you never know.
That's a great question.
The Illinois basketball team will face off against Iowa State in a cruel start time for the morning show. Will you stay up for the bitter end? And will the end be bitter? Who wins tonight and who must play well for the Illini to advance to the Elite Eight?
Usual suspects.
Yes.
Terrence Shannon Jr., Hawkins, all the things that have happened to get the Illini to this point have to continue to happen. It's going to be a matter of offensive efficiency against what KenPom says is the best defense in the country in Iowa State. So it's not going to be easy. If it could come down to just who gets hot. Terrence Shannon Jr. has been playing with a high level of confidence. He's blocked out the distractions, and he's been unstoppable. If he can carry this Illini team to the next round, that may be where it ends, but that would be quite an accomplishment for this basketball team. Yeah, I think you're going to have to probably stay up late, because if they pull it off, you don't want to miss it. And tomorrow we'll just kind of apologize in advance for the first half hour.
I'm sorry. Not a problem. Anxious to talk.
I'll be quick with this one. I'm going to have Illinois winning this. Yes, I'm going to stay up late. It's Friday. We run on fumes. That's fine with me. We, you know, got the weekend to take a nap. I'm definitely going to say Terrence Shannon Jr. for this one, and I'm going with the Illini to win it in advance.
I love it. I think you're right. I think David, you're right. It's kind of Illinois offense against Iowa State defense. I think Terrence Shannon Jr. is the guy. They've got a lot of guys. Their transfer attack is fantastic. Dumask, I love what he's done in the tournament. Another guy like that. We're seeing more Dane Danger, which I'm all about.
Danger's been huge
yes,
for them.
Yes.
And if he comes up with another one of those games.
Yes, but I think that when it's said and done, you know, Illinois is going to have to. My fear for Illinois, and just watching them over the course of this run that they've been on, my fear for them is that if they don't respond early, they're not going to be able to come back. That's my fear. They can play like a really bad first half and then come back and beat the teams that they were playing earlier in the tournament or in the Big Ten tournament. You can't do that now. I think Iowa State should have been a number one pick. It should have been a number one seed over North Carolina. And I love Carolina. I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying, if you look at the resume, and for some reason they weren't. So you're basically, you got two number one seeds left to get past. And I think they can get by this one. I don't know what's going to happen against UConn, but, and I think UConn will be there playing. But I do believe that Illinois can win this game, and there is not a chance that I won't be there fighting, sleep, standing up, whatever I got to do to watch the end of this game. Unless they're like down 20, I'm going to – you know what? Maybe if they were up 20, I might go to bed, because I'm not sure Iowa State's coming back on them. But if they're down 20
– I'm going to bed.
I might not.
I might be going to bed.
At halftime, I might
– We all picked Illinois, but if they're down 20 at halftime, okay, might be good night, Irene.
I don't think they will. Down 5.
Pick 6.
What about the other three games in the NCAA tournament tonight? Will there be an upset or two? Can you please give us your picks for those games?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of chalk heavy, sadly. I already said that I can't see UConn losing. I've got Arizona in my championship game winning the championship, so I need them to beat Clemson. And the other game is UNC against Alabama. Yeah, I think I'm going Carolina. I think I'm all chalk at this point, and I, I wish I wasn't. I would like to say there's going to be an upset, but I think that if I was picking an upset, I might actually take Clemson because they played well. I think Arizona kind of, they're just too good. I think they're going to win that game, and Caleb Love is going to face North Carolina, which is the dream.
I'm with you, Mully. I'm chalk heavy. I got, looking at my bracket, I got UConn, I got North Carolina, I got Arizona. So, I mean, it's one game. Any of these teams could get ups, like upset it, yeah. But at the same time, I'm sorry. I'm going with the favorites.
I think the biggest upset would be what we picked, Illinois beating Iowa State, just because it's a lower seeded team winning. Although, if there was one beyond that, I think Alabama could find North Carolina vulnerable, perhaps, if they get hot and they don't play a lot of defense, but that could be a game. I think Arizona is going to roll. So it's hard to find an upset, and UConn is just on cruise control.
They're in an entirely different bracket.
UConn can, and they will. And I think that will be a pretty chalky night tonight.
Different question on a different topic.
That the voice of Mike Florio. How about the Iowa women and Caitlin Clark drawing nearly 5 million viewers to their second round 65-54 victory over West Virginia in the women's NCAA tournament? Does that underscore Mike Florio's officiating concerns or Ice Cube's $5 million offer for the Big Three?
I think that it's a thing. Whenever Alex Kuhn works, we have to have an Iowa question. Is that
I don't make
deal?
The questions. Okay. So
we always talk about it. Wasn't me. We spend a lot of time on Caitlin Clark and the punter.
That is. You're here and you bring that Hawkeye with you. I think that the 5 million audience, 5 million viewer audience is as impressive as a $5 million offer. And so I don't think that she gets all the calls because of everyone's got a conspiracy to get Iowa through. I'm looking forward to seeing this weekend if they can get on a collision course with LSU. As for the $5 million offer from the Big Three and Ice Cube, we talked about it. There's some marketing and obviously some implications. The only argument against it, and I do think it's a no-brainer. I do think I would do it if I were Caitlin Clark, and if I were her father, I would encourage her to do that. But I also understand why some people are reluctant to make a mockery of it, perhaps, or to diminish her skills as a women's basketball ambassador and player by doing something like that. I don't think I agree with that, but I do respect the argument. I think I would take the money and run because it doesn't interfere with her WNBA career. And as long as it doesn't do anything to degrade her or take away or diminish her stature, then I think she's okay. Fact is, she's just – everybody wants to see her shoot the basketball.
I mean, $5 million. For like a second round game in a women's tournament is huge. And that just shows the impact that Caitlin Clark has overall in the game of women's basketball. The Big Three offer kind of like is weird to me. I mean, it's not weird to me. It's weird to me in a way where I think she gets like $3 million in like up to that in like NIL deals. And I feel like what is the gain for her, besides the money, what is the gain for her to really join the Big Three if she wants to do that? I feel like it's all good for the Big Three. That helps their league. But what does that really do for Caitlin Clark going against, like, retired NBA players? I think it would be bigger for her to, with the sponsors that I heard that it can carry over into the WNBA, she can probably grow that game more. I feel like more money will come down the line with that one, and I think her impact would be bigger once she joins the WNBA.
Here's the thing. Like, I heard somebody arguing, prove to me Michael Jordan's a better player than LeBron without using the six titles is the reason why, without using the six MVPs is the reason why. But that's the argument. You see what I'm saying? That's why you could consider him better. It's the same thing saying, well, you know, she's made a lot of money. I don't think she should go just for the money. The only reason to go is for the $5 million. So they drew almost, it was like 4.9 million viewers. The average NCAA game, the average game, drew 1.3. 5 million people are watching her. That's why they're offering her $5 million, one for everybody who's going to watch a Big Three game. She will draw eyes upon wherever she goes, be it the WNBA, and she'd still do that, or if she took a quick turn through an eight-game season of the Big Three. I don't know how you tell her not to take $5 million. She has made a lot of money in NIL. She's got a lot of endorsement deals. She is worth, her entire life worth is $3 million, which is an absurd amount of money for a 22-year-old athlete in a women's game, because that is traditionally more money than anyone's ever made. She's still going to make a ton of money, even though she'll be limited to whatever it is, $162,000. I think the biggest salary in that WNBA is $262,000. So the most she's ever going to make, she's not going to come in at 262. They got the same rookie salary cap. I'm telling you, take the $5 million, bring people to look. It's only going to make your trip to the WNBA even better. And WNBA, arms wide open, welcome to all the fans. She's bringing eyes on your sport and appreciate it. And I wouldn't tell her you need to be a better ambassador for the women's game. Hey, make what you can, double the amount of money you have as a human. Who has the right to tell her not to do it? I think she should do it. I'm all over it. And I do worry that the officiating is going to try to get her in the championship.
No.
I do think Mike Florio is right. The fix is in. No, I just love the idea. 312-644-6767. We got the extra point next, and we're going to give you a division-by-division rundown of who's in and who's out in Major League Baseball. We're going to tell you who wins the Cy Young and the MVP. We're going to give you everything you need to know to get ready for the start in earnest. David Keith.
Opening day.
Out. Not opening day, because they played in Korea.
It's America's opening day. It's a national pastime, opening day in our nation.
And it's Chicago's opening day, and that's all we really care about. Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haas on 6-7 The Score.
All right, guys, with the baseball season beginning in earnest, please share your division winners, wild card teams, and a World Series matchup and result. Who's the MVP? Who wins the Cy Young?
Okay, we made our Cubs and Sox predictions, so now the divisional predictions. In the American League, I have the Orioles winning the East, the Astros winning the West. Dramatic pause for Dustin's sake. I have the Tigers winning the Central. Wild card, Rangers, Yankees, Blue Jays, pennant. Orioles over Astros. A lot of sense of theme coming here. Brandon Hyde's going to have a good summer. Orioles. Orioles over the Astros. And they're going to the World Series in the National League. Phillies in the East. Cubs in the Central. Dodgers in the West. Wild card, Braves, Giants, Diamondbacks. Three teams from the West get into the playoffs. Diamondbacks fueled by Jordan Montgomery. Good pickup for them. And then the pennant. The Phillies will beat the Dodgers. Shohei will be distracted. But I think that it's a safe bet that the Phillies will beat the Dodgers. And then in the World Series, the Phillies will beat the Baltimore Orioles. So Philadelphia will have something to celebrate, and it'll help them get over Jason Kelsey's retirement. The Phillies beat the Orioles in the World Series. The MVP in the American League will be Adley Rutschman from the Orioles. Cy Young Award winner will be Corbin Burns. And in the National League, it will be Zach Wheeler, the Cy Young Award winner. And then the MVP, Bryce Harper, coming back stronger than ever. Bryce Harper, MVP. Philadelphia, great year to be a Phillies fan. Fanatics.
All right. I'm going to start in the AL. So AL East, I got the Orioles. AL West, I got the Astros. The Central, I got the Twins. In the wild card slots, I got Yankees, Rays, Rangers. For that, NL East, I got the Braves. The West, I got the Dodgers. And then the Central, I got the Cubs. And then my wild cards are Philly, Giants, and the Padres. Dylan Cease might help them out, and hopefully they can get something going there. They look pretty good in that little Soul series over there, so I'm just giving them that. So with that, I have Dodgers, Yankees, old school. East versus, you got the West Coast, East Coast, right there. And I got the Dodgers edging it out, winning. Now, my Cy Young, I got Corbin Burns for the Orioles. Then I got Spencer Strider for the National League.
Good pick.
Then I have my MVPs. Since I went Dodgers-Yankees, I'm going to have my AL MVP, Aaron Judge. I think he's going to bounce back, long as he can stay healthy. And then if Mookie Betts can really get this shortstop situation, he's kind of struggled so far. If he can get that in order, I mean, look, and he still puts up those numbers, and now you had another position where you're pretty much at an all-star type level. I mean, and I got the Dodgers winning it, so I'm going to give him the MVP.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm going Orioles, Twins, Astros, Braves, Cubs, Phillies. Who am I missing? The wild cards.
Hold on. Braves, Cubs, Phillies. Who you got in the West?
I got the Dodgers.
Okay.
And then I got the Padres. I've got – I'm just trying to find my wild cards. Give me a quarter of a second. My wild cards are the Rangers, Yankees, and Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And my NL wild cards are the Padres. The Padres, the Giants, and the Phillies. So I have the Orioles over the Braves in the World Series.
You have Baltimore winning it all.
I got Baltimore. I thought you picked that. That's why I was upset earlier. I've got the Orioles over the Braves. I got the Dodgers losing. And I have Juan Soto as the AL MVP because he's going to be better than Judge. And Judge is his teammate. So it's going to be very obvious. The New York media is going to be all over it. And I got Ronald Acuna Jr.
Oh, boy.
In the National.
Imagine that celebration.
So there you go.
When that happens, stop the game, pick up the base, and.
Okay.
Bathe himself in glory of the crowd.
Whatever it takes, that's the way I see it.
I hope that's not the case.
I am really curious to see what happens with Ohtani this year, to see what the fallout is, to see if there is any – the idea that apparently ESPN has contacted every kind of initialed organization, law enforcement or otherwise, that they can think of to find out where charges were pressed against the
translator. They have yet to be pressed filed.
They have apparently – they claim they've contacted someone about this massive theft, and they have not.
Yeah, the longer it
– Yes.
The longer we go from the day that he made his announcement and appearance, the more the skepticism builds.
And until I see him in handcuffs, this is a story I'm going to be following and suspicious about.
Who do you want to see in handcuffs?
Until the translator is arrested for massive theft, then I'm going to believe Ohtani paid off his debts.
All right.
They were Ohtani's debts or his debts.
I thought you wanted Ohtani in handcuffs.
Well, no. I'm saying if this guy committed massive theft and stole millions of dollars, then don't you think we need a perp walk?
I don't know that if we need a perp walk, but we do need some sort of official charge to be filed for somebody that was stealing $4.5 million, 500,000 chunks at a time, without anybody knowing it, without anybody raising an eyebrow, without getting some sort of notice on your phone. Hey, you're missing $500,000.
Who knew what when?
Yes.
312-644-6767. That's why I picked against them. And it made me very happy. We're going to have some fun. It's opening day. What are your thoughts about our local teams? Anybody got a 70-plus win prediction for the White Sox? Wouldn't that be awesome? 312-644-6767. We should talk about numbers. Like, if the Cubs hit 90, I think everyone's going to be delighted.
Oh, yeah, but are we overstating?
If the Sox hit 70, should we be equally delighted?
Well, I think if the Sox hit 70, you could say they've overachieved. If the Cubs hit 90, I think that they have maxed out. But I think it would be more remarkable and unexpected if the Sox win 70.
312-644-6767. Mullion Haw on the score.
Go Sox.
White Sox. White Sox.
So White Sox.
Wow, that is not happy. Here's a texter. Cubs win 92, Sox 56.
Oh, my gosh. That's really low expectations for the Southsiders. I don't think it's going to be that bad.
No.
I think we talk about in the high 60s, that would be pretty much a good season based on how anonymous their roster is right now.
They won 61 games last year.
Yeah. So,
and Vegas has them as 61.5.
I said 68. That would be a seven-game improvement. You had 65. 4-game improvement.
Yep.
If they win 70, Pedro Grifol will get votes for manager of the year.
If they win 70, that would be awesome. And I can't believe I'm saying that. Like 72 wins would be like they should be allowed in the playoffs, right? We should set a number.
Yes.
It's
crazy.
Most teams win the division, but if you don't win 90 and they win 77, then you're out and they're in.
That would be a good.
And that's 77 is a little too high.
The Cubs have a better chance of winning 90 than the Sox do of winning 70. I would say that is a fair statement to make. The Sox are anonymous.
You don't know who's
going
to eat the innings.
Yeah.
You don't know. The problem is the back end, too. You don't know if they have anything. Yeah, there's problems. And we just heard from Ron on the South Side. And guess what? We've got Ron. He's on the South Side. Ron, good morning. How are you, buddy? Happy opening day.
Look here. Happy New Year. My life starts and ends with the baseball season. And happy opening day. And Mully, as David told you, those numbers you gave are written down and recorded. And they are kept in a secure place in my house with insurance, papers, marriage, license. No one can get to it. Okay. All right. Let's get to it, guys. Mully, agree with you. I think 65 games is pretty much going to be it for the White Sox. And I was trying to think of a player to have a breakout season. And, Dave, I know you mentioned Colson Montgomery. And it lets you know why we say 65. Because there's really no one on the team, the 26-man team, that when I look at. Now, I would hope that Andrew Vaughn could get better. He's going to be around. But, guys, I want to say this real quick. Somebody that has to have a good season is Andrew Benintendi. And, wow. Dave, I mentioned to you this Saturday, largest contract Sox history, and last right. year was terrible. So let's just hope. So that's it, guys. We have a lot to talk about, and I'm going. Everybody definitely going with Baltimore. I'm going with Atlanta to beat Baltimore. As yep. good as Atlanta was last year's guy, Michael Harris Jr. That was the rookie the year before that didn't have a good season, and that Chris Sale pickup. So that's it, guys. But
we're in agreement up to the World Series, and then we're going to have an argument because I got the Orioles over the Braves.
Thanks, Ron.
So that's awesome.
Great phone call. You have the Orioles over the Braves.
I do.
Mully, isn't it something a lot of love for the Braves with good reason? And they have two ex-White Sox pitchers in their rotation.
That's why everyone loves them.
Ronaldo Lopez and Chris Sale.
Yeah,
that's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy.
Fun.
All right. Now you depressed me. Kevin's in Palatine. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Mully, you definitely, as David tried to pass his Eloy Juju onto you, you immediately said you did not pick him for MVP, so I like that you batted it back across the fence to David, and
fair
David
enough.
Still owns that MVP. Sorry, David,
fair
I am
enough.
Not passing it on to Mully.
Okay.
I will right. not do that. So I have I got the Cubs. I bet the Sox over, so that's the first person that you got that bet them over.
Nice.
They're not going to lose 108 games. That's not going to happen. So I think they'll win at least 65. So nice. Cubs, I think 87. And David, I did like when you said you're not trying to be pessimistic this morning, and then you surgically took apart Hap. You surgically took apart Saya, and then you said Cody better do it again. So my big breakout player, because I don't know why David doesn't like him, I think Saya is going to have a monster year. I also like Michael Bush. The only thing that scares me about this Cubs team, and just take a look at it today, and you can ask Jed about it. This April schedule is the most brutal thing. If they're 500 at the end of April, they're definitely winning the division because there is one exhale series, and that is the Rockies. Everything else is – I've never seen anything like it. So, but I think – I do think they got a chance to win the division. And, David, you own Eloy till the day he leaves the city.
Thanks, Kevin. Guys. Okay.
Fair enough. I said breakout. I never said MVP.
I thought I bequeathed them to you.
I batted it back.
I got it back. And he is right about Seiya Suzuki. I do have concerns. Maybe they're unfounded. I don't know why. I want him to be consistent over the course of 162 games.
That's fair. 312-644-6767. We're going to get right back to the phone lines. We're going to take all your calls. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.